today in Rich in Relationship, we're going to talk about
love on the back burner. Basically, how we can sabotage our marriage, our partnership, by focusing too much on work. Well, the truth is, nobody sabotages their marriage on purpose. One or both parents start to sabotage the relationship first with the excuse of, I need to show up at work so that we can pay for all this good stuff. Welcome to another episode of Rich in Relationship. I'm your host, Rich Heller, and we are in the beginning of a series on self-sabotage in marriage. Can you imagine that? Why would anyone sabotage their own marriage? Well, the truth is, nobody sabotages their marriage on purpose. Self-sabotage is an unconscious process. And this whole series is all about exploring that unconscious process. We want to bring to the surface the unconscious processes that are getting in the way of your having the joy, the intimacy, the safety, the closeness, the shared vision in your marriage that you bought into it with. That's what this whole series is about. So hang in, stay tuned, enjoy every episode. And today it's all about work-related issues when careers challenge marriages. And how could that possibly happen, right? Well, what we explored in the last episode is that there is a balance that needs to be maintained between individual growth and the relationship. And also, where we went is that place that we all go to when children arrive, which is where we've gone from being in love, and then we have children, and all of a sudden it's all hands on deck, because how the heck are we going to manage these little square-headed dumplings, right? They didn't come with an instruction manual. And the only instructions we have are the experiences from our own childhood, which, let's face it, were less than ideal for most of us. Not that they were bad, right? Not that you don't love your parents. Not that your parents didn't do the best job they possibly could. But you didn't come with an instruction manual either. And they bumbled and fumbled their way through it just as you have been. And what happens then? I like to liken it to tag team wrestling. One person is in while the other one is resting, or if they're not resting, they're working. Actually, typically when there's kids, there isn't a lot of resting, is there? No. One person's in with the kids, the other one's out making money, or the other one's out keeping the house in order. And then they tag off, that person jumps in with the kids, and the other one steps out. It is a constant effort, a constant struggle, and we find ourselves losing our own sense of identity in the heat of taking care of our children. And so the tendency is to slip into what is known as parallel lives, two parents living side by side for the sole purpose of raising their children, and they lose sight of what? The marriage. Now, in every marriage, there is a prime wage earner. Or a prime bill payer, depending on, like, maybe you're a trust fund kid and got lots of money. I don't know. That's all good, by the way. Nothing wrong with having lots of money. I'm all in with that. But typically, one person is carrying the bulk of the burden. It's pretty rare that both people are contributing exactly the same or creating exactly the same amount of money in their lives. And what happens here is, the prime wage earner has the burden of making sure that the bulk of the bills get paid. And at the same time, unconsciously, the prime wage earner has the opportunity to continue to develop themselves professionally. They have the opportunity to step away from the kids and have what? Adult time. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. If any new parents listening, you know the value of adult time. It's hard to get those minutes of adult time. The prime wage earner has the responsibility and the privilege of adult time. So where does the sabotage come in? It's not unusual for the prime wage earner to slip into workaholism, a pattern of, I've got to work harder and harder and make more and more because The financial needs of the family are growing steadily as the children are developing. These kids that maybe you didn't anticipate the cost of, well, the stay-at-home person or the person who is not the who is earning also, but is not the prime wage earner, both of you have to get some time off. So eventually you're going to bring in an au pair or you're going to bring in daycare. And that's going to do what? Cost more money. And the kids need clothes, cost more money. Summertime, summer vacations cost more money. Birthday parties cost more money. And so the prime wage earner has the pressure to earn the bulk of this and the privilege of adult time. And what happens is one or both parents start to sabotage the relationship, the marriage covenant, first with the excuse of, I need to show up at work so that we can pay for all this good stuff. Next, they are doing it unconsciously because let's be honest, at work, when we're working at a job that's challenging us, we're growing individually. And it is vital that we all grow individually. Not only vital, we are wired for it. And so one or both members become more and more focused on deriving their individual satisfaction from work. Nothing wrong with that. But the impact on the marriage is that one or both members forget that marriages are living organisms. The relationship is a living organism, separate from and dependent on them both. And like any living organism, if it isn't watered regularly, it wilts. If it isn't pruned regularly, things grow out that aren't helpful. If it isn't, I'm a gardener, so I use a lot of gardening metaphors. Let's see if we can find a metaphor that's not garden. Here's one for you. Maybe a relationship is kind of like a car. If a car isn't driven regularly, it actually degrades. Or if it's driven without putting more fuel in the tank or the battery, it runs down and it stops. Or if the tires aren't rotated, or if the oil isn't changed, or I can just keep spinning them. Relationships are just like any vehicle or any living organism. They need regular input, regular care, regular maintenance. And when two individuals seek their fulfillment more and more in their work and stop nurturing the relationship, that, my friends, is unconscious sabotage on the work level. How do you know this is happening? You'll know it's happening if one person is late to dinner frequently. You'll know this is happening if you're not eating together. You'll know this is happening if you're one or both of you is binging on Netflix all the time when you're home, right? You go to work, you take care of the kids, you collapse and binge on Netflix. You'll know this is happening if you're not talking about finances. You'll know this is, except to fight about them. You'll know this is happening if there's high conflict. Right, so I'm describing two things here. High conflict is when you're fighting over a lot of the things that aren't working, or maybe there's no conflict and that's going to be more binging and avoidance. You'll know this is happening when you start feeling alone, even though you're in the same home together. You'll know this is happening when you wake up one day and go, who the frick is that person next to me? Is that my beautiful wife? Is this my beautiful wife? Is this my beautiful house? Is that my handsome husband? Is this my incredible house? It's vital that you assess where your relationship is. And the only way to assess where your relationship is to consider where you want it to go. What is the vision you both created? And I'm not talking about, oh, we're going to get married. We're going to have kids. We're going to have grandkids. We're going to celebrate the holidays with our parents. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is the vision for your marriage? Before you got married, go back to how did you feel in the presence of one another when you were in the in love phase? Now, I know that in love is a short-term experience. It's got a cap of 3 years for basically any human being. And then it wears off. It stops. Usually it's children that take us there. And then we're all constantly trying to chase that feeling again. Well, that doesn't happen again unless you meet somebody completely new. The in-love experience is the discovery of yourself, a self that you didn't know existed to some extent, in the face of another human being. The in-love experience is the discovery of potential that they see in you that you maybe didn't see in yourself, and they view you in that potential, and you feel like more yourself in their presence, and vice versa. That it's a kind of very cool mechanism for people coming together and realizing that they might be a good fit together because they see so much in each other. And the purpose of it is to bring people together. The purpose of it is to allow two people to focus quickly and intensely on the relationship they want to create together. The purpose is to create a vision for each other as individuals and as a couple. And then when it wears off, we don't really know what to do. Well, the thing to do is to grab hold of that vision. And you may not be fully cognizant of what that vision is. It might be unconscious. I think in the earlier episode, I asked you to inventory the ways that you were sabotaging your marriage. What was coming up? What did you notice? Right? What you're going to notice about those patterns of, first you're going to notice that there's a pattern, that certain things are triggering the sabotage, that there are certain events that are making you go off, so to speak. And the next thing you're going to notice is that those patterns are going to represent things that you feel are lacking in the relationship and in the other person. Well, here's what I want you to do with that. If you do the exercise, if you didn't do the exercise, do it now this week. And here's what I want you to do with it. I want you to look at your list of things that are lacking, the pattern that you see. And now I want you to look in the mirror and get that that's really all about you, right? When we take inventory of another human being, any human being, it's because we are seeing in them something that we see in ourselves. And when we identify things in other human beings that we don't like, it's because there are things within us that we have decided we don't like. And so now what I want you to do is get that that's about you. Hey, and in the next episode, we're going to talk about what to do with that, right? Yeah, it's a trick to keep you listening. But in the next episode, I'm going to give you the next step in the process. Now that you've looked in the mirror and you've identified that you, the enemy, and the enemy is you, in the next episode, we're going to talk about what to do with those emotions so that you're not so PO'd with your partner and yourself. All right, back to what we're focusing on here, though. You're going to assess where your relationship is and get back in touch with that vision. And that vision may not be on top for you. It might take some journaling. It might take some discussion. Maybe the two of you, you and your partner, need to sit down and talk about, hey, honey, you remember when we were in love, how awesome that was? I get that that's a short-term 1 to 3 year thing, but there was stuff that you saw in me that I didn't see in myself. Would you please share that with me? And you're going to do the same thing for them. You're going to make a list of the things you saw in them that they didn't see in themselves and share it with them. This is your first step towards ending the self-sabotage. This particular form of self-sabotage is about unconsciously checking out of your marriage because of work. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to start to talk about not only the negative things at work, but you're going to talk about the positives, all right? So there's a tendency when one or both people are working and they're dedicating themselves to work because somebody's got to provide. We've got to make money to support these kids. I have to sacrifice my self-care and my marriage so that I can feed these kids and have a better home, all right? And what we tend to do when we're in that space is we start complaining about what's not working at work. What's in the way? What are the things that are keeping us from getting what we want, from getting that promotion? If we could just get that promotion or get that sale, then I wouldn't have to work so hard. We start complaining about Tom and John and Sue and Ellen who are getting in the way of that promotion, right? And what happens is our partner gets an impression that we don't like our job, that we don't like the people at our job, because all we do is come home and unload on them. And it's honestly, it's a little sickening for them to constantly be unloaded on. So what you're going to start to do now is you're going to start to talk about what you're going to fess up to what's good at work. Why are you doing that job? What are you getting out of it? Not just for the money, right? The money's good. The money's important. Supporting your family is vital. I'm not saying that's not good. But we're going to start to build our relationship by sharing what's working. Because there is no reason why work needs to be an unconscious form of sabotage to our marriage. Absolutely no reason. And I promise you that these things that I just asked you to do are going to be a little challenging. So I want to hear about it. Rich at richinrelationship.com. R-I-C-H at R-I-C-H-I-N-R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P.com. Email me. Look for me on social media. Rich in Relationship is on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok. Just look for me and let me know what's going on. And I will be gladly share suggestions, advice, encouragement directly with you without even putting it on air. I want you to start to explore all the ways that self-sabotage can show up when we are working and not paying attention to our marriage. Some of the other things that might be going on when we're working and not paying attention to our marriage, there might be qualities of our marriage. Once the in love part falls off and we realize that everybody burps and farts and sometimes doesn't smell so good, maybe has a pimple or a wart. Maybe they've got emotional pimples and warts that we don't like. We've been taking their inventory and blaming them a lot. Sometimes the self-sabotage shows up as being hypercritical of the other person. Sometimes the self-sabotage shows up as financial fights. And that is what we're going to talk about on the next episode. It wasn't what I planned to talk about, but we're going to talk about ways that we can self-sabotage our marriage through how we manage finance and the fights that come up as a result of going unconscious, not nurturing the marriage, and self-sabotaging the relationship through finance. And I promise you that your partner is self-sabotaging the relationship as well. That's right. It isn't just you. It's both of you. When one does it, the other does it. It is very rare that one person starts to sabotage the relationship and the other one says, "Honey, don't you see what you're doing? You're sabotaging the relationship." No, it's very rare that we have such an enlightened partner, though it can happen. I would love to tell you that I, Rich Heller, the creator and promoter and presenter of Rich in Relationship, in fact, does that with his partner. But just like yourselves, I tend to personalize it, slip into frustration and aggravation, and need to go through a number of exercises before I can get to a conversation about the ways that my partner is self-sabotaging our relationship and the way I'm self-sabotaging our relationship. I'll share this with you, and then I'm going to check out. The other day, I was sitting with my lovely bride, and we were talking about her work. And we actually, as I recall, we were driving to an event, a family event, and she was texting. And I said to her, "When I'm talking to you and you're texting other people, I get a little frustrated. I feel a little frustrated because it seems like you're not listening to me." And she said, "No, I'm listening to you." And I said, "Well, look, I know you can multitask really well and I can't, but I'd really like to have your full attention." She said, "I'm sorry," and gave me her full attention. And I said, "Yeah," then I couldn't resist, right? I had to add my helpful observation. And I said, "You think you may have a little workaholism thing going on?" And there was like dead silence. And I knew what she was thinking. I said, "I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about all the ways that I'm a workaholic, or you're thinking about how you have to do these things to pay the bills." And because she's the prime wage earner, by the way, that somebody's got to do this work. I know that's what's going on for you. And I don't mean to trigger that. And then I dropped it. So what was cool was I did actually have a moment of, "Hey, here's a way that you might be sabotaging our relationship and yourself, is you've got this trait going on." And I did explain, acknowledge that my statement was triggering, and I didn't even know how it's triggering, because guess who else can be a little bit of a workaholic? Yeah. Don't take the mote out of your wife's eye until you take the 2x4 out of your own, my friends. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. Looking forward to seeing you on the next episode of Rich in Relationship. Stay tuned.